And it's now 30 minutes past 9 Central African time. Important interview tonight as we focus on the first annual South African Black Muslim Conference. It's going to be taking place from the 19th to the 21st of April 2019. Some of you might have heard about it. Some of you perhaps haven't heard of it at all. The point of this particular interview is to understand the context of this conference, understand what it seeks to achieve from the organizers themselves before entering into any subsidiary discussions. And I think many people might have jumped the gun in that regard. You know, lots of raging debates, if you'd like, on social media about this particular point. But let's understand the context in the conference in perspective first before we can explore some of the subsidiary issues. To do that, we speak to the communications manager of this particular conference and somebody who will be addressing the conference as well, Hafiz Dawood Ndebele, joining us from Johannesburg this evening as well. Hafiz Dawood, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good speaking to you, Hafiz Dawood, and once again catching up with you on an important conference. I see the title or the poster of this particular conference puts it as the first conference of this type. Is this to suggest, you know, consultations or different meetings of this sort have not taken place in the past?
If they have, we're not aware of it. I think the aim is not necessarily, the focus is not whether it's the first or the last. And you touched a bit on it, on the issue of black, which raises some concern. And let me maybe deal with that at the onset so that we move on from that understanding. This is not a conference to bash anyone. It's not an anti this one. It's not a conference to fight anyone. The aim of the conference is to say townships and specifically black Muslims, given the background of South Africa, which is a very unfortunate one, we come from divided paths. As a result of that, we face different challenges and different opportunities. Black Muslims as a community, there are certain things that are just peculiar to them. This is not to say other races are being fought against, but I'll give you a few examples. There is an issue of lobola, which is a traditional African thing that faces majority of us, because most of us, when we get married, you find the sister is the only Muslim in the family. How do we navigate that? There has to be now a time, if I can bring one of the most learned alims from an Indian community, who's not familiar with that, he will not, in my humble opinion, be able to address that issue effectively. We are faced with issues around janaza. The brother is the only Muslim. As a community, we've been encountering this for many years. We've never deliberately sat with ulama, with academics, with different people, and as a community, we are slowly developing. How do we take this forward? So the word black has got a lot of people excited as if this is a deliberate racist to exclude anyone. It is not an intention to exclude, but it is an intention to focus on issues that are pertinent to a particular group of Muslims. Islam does not have a color system. I will never be part of anything that seeks to divide Muslims on color lines. If there's a masjid, to be that said, blacks are not allowed, Indians are not allowed, I'll never be part of it. But if there's a communication like I've seen previously, where our Malawi brothers get together and have a Chichewa Dawa conference, there are issues that are pertinent to them. Senegalese have gotten together in this country on a number of times. Somalians do that. So this is not, and I want to emphasize, is not an attempt, it's not a platform to bash anyone, to fight anyone, to be anti anyone. This is a platform to say we have many challenges that are peculiar to us that need to be addressed, and let's get the collective wisdom of so many alims. Because of the intervention that has been made by so many people in our community, we now have alims, we now have hufaz, we now have CAs, we now have doctors. And for a long time, most of us as black Muslims have not taken up the responsibility of this deed. We used to build churches when we were Christians. And Christians still continue that are black in the townships. But yet, there are very few masajid that are being built by black Muslims. Why is that? And the aim, and I'll wrap up and allow you to maybe ask or that we interact.
Yes.
The aim is not at the end of the day that we blacks walk this alone. We now against this one will do it. No, is to say, what are the challenges? And anyone else, be it white, green, red, that buys into the vision that comes out of this contract can walk the journey with us. It's not an exclusive attempt.
Avid Dawood, is this the logical outcome, the conference? Is it a logical outcome of structures that have been set up? And I've been talking to you for quite a while. You know, I can recall having an Ijtima a while back in one of the townships. We also had the concept of Shura committees that are being set up or have been set up in many of the areas. Is this a logical outcome to that? So structures have been set up at grassroots level. Events have been held in certain communities on a much more frequent basis, and now a way to bring all of this together?
It's a building block. You've hit it on the nail. As I've said, this goes way back to the late Imam Ibrahim of Lamini Masjid, who called a number of us and said, brothers, the deen in our areas, in our township, has offered. Yet most of you, we've sent you out, you've gone and studied in Darulum, you've gone and studied in institutions, yet you're not coming back and providing leadership. Out of that, different formations have started. There's different interactions. There's different programs that are coming out all across the townships, which, in my humble opinion, is something that should be celebrated by every Muslim. Because the misconception out there is that Islam is an Indian religion. But if more and more of our people start seeing Africans in the forefront running, not beggars, but participating actively in a positive manner in all dini aspects, in my opinion, it can only be good for Dawah. It can take us to the next level. As you rightfully mentioned, it was very unfortunate that people that had access to us did not utilize that and yet went to the social media. And this happens when we become irresponsible, because it generated a lot of negative heat and discussion, which shouldn't take place around Muslims. Once you whip people up with emotion, especially with limited facts, you have that particular effect on the community. And that's not our intention. Our intention is to build. Our intention is to say, we as a community need to take this responsibility for this deen. That's the ultimate. Is what steps can we start taking to start taking more responsibilities for deen rather than being constantly supplied? And it was fine. There was a time where this worked. It had its place, and it still has its place now. But the ball game is changing, and we need to move with the time and take more responsibilities, inshallah.
There would be the question that this conference does not take place, Afis Dawood, in a vacuum, and the question of a precedent being set. So if religion in South Africa or religious structures in South Africa are going to be overtly now being promoted on racial lines, we seem to then be playing the game of identity identity politics in South Africa. It's obviously very common in our political spectrum at the moment, and people would say this is now transferring it formally into the religious spectrum. And I can obviously see an argument coming up to say that what is there to say that it wasn't there already? In a structural racism was not existing in a less overt form. But is there not the danger by fixing labels such as black or Indian or white, whatever it may be, to religious structures that tangibly contributes and very strongly contributes towards polarization?
Let me answer it this manner. We are not forming an organization. This is a conference. It's a platform for discussions, for outcomes of execution. So we are not creating a black organization in opposition to anyone. That's one. Secondly, the reality of it is that look across. We do not have that diversity we need across even the existing ones. We can be politically correct. But if you tell the truth, MJC is more a Malay type of organization, with Jamiatul Ulama more an Indian, and we hope with strengthening all these areas that at some point we'll all get together and then work forward and work towards a much more united in a brotherhood manner. But to achieve that, you have a situation right now in the townships where fatwas of issues that affect townships are imported directly from India into South Africa. I'm not sure if that's probably the correct way, but if we start getting the ulama, the black ulama, organize and understand the issues facing the township, and then they get together with the Jamiatul Ulama and sit around the table, now it's a much more meaningful. The brothers now understand that the community has given them a mandate, has given them support and said, these are our issues, this is how we need. Now the interaction between us is much better. The interaction at the moment is a very difficult one of strong areas who have established themselves, have systems. You are dealing with an area that has no systems, that has not established itself. How do you effectively communicate in that particular thing? We are not blocking anyone. I've used this example in the previous media. I'll use it right now. One of the discussions that took place in Soweto was to say, we need Hufaz. We need to promote that we have Hufaz from the township leading us as a motivation for the community and the youngsters in our community. It was agreed that, yes, that's a good idea. We went to Hafiz Adam from Lands, an Indian brother, who set up a his class in Dlamini. So it wasn't, the problem was a specifically township one, addressed by township residents. Solution included an Indian, because it's not a racist approach. It's an inclusive approach. But even now, even when we spoke about the conference, some of the questions that you asked were, are the people excluded? I said, anyone who's well-versed in some of these issues, there could be an Indian brother who grew up in a township and understand Lobola and its implication and has strong views. He's not excluded because he can contribute to that discussion. The fact that he happens to be Indian does not matter. We have the wife of the late Imam in Dlamini Masjid participates in a lot of activities that we do, and she's white. So it's not a color thing.
In terms of incorporating the existing structures, as you said, you want to create a platform, you want to find the important solutions based on the local indigenous knowledge. I mean, every person living in a particular area would know the circumstances better, but you would then have at the same time, you know, these strong or these established structures over many years that play an important role in the community. What has been the state of communication with these previously when it came to such issues and such challenges? And will there perhaps at least be, or will be, are these organizations showing some interest to be present just at the conference, even as at observers, to understand the kind of discourse and challenges, at least to educate themselves if they are a bit in the dark on these?
So we've had mixed reviews. We've had some unfortunate individuals who jumped the gun and called it racist. We had other organizations that who saw the light and understood it from where we were coming from, who picked up the phone and said, brothers, our resources are at your disposal. Whatever we can assist to assist you, brothers, to strengthen and establish yourselves, we are available. I've received a call from Malana Ibrahim Baum, who's keen to have a discussion. I'm not quite sure in which direction it's going to go, but that was in a matured manner, because communication lines are there. It's not that these things. So some people adopt the approach of saying, let's hear it from the horse's mouth. Let's make ourselves available. Let's assist. And few individuals on the periphery chose to hype it up and make it out to be what it was not.
If we look at some of the topics that will be discussed, and I think that would be able to shift the focus a bit from, you know, a cloud that has been created to the actual substance of this conference. I've seen some of the speakers who have been advertised, yourself amongst them, but give us an idea of the issues that will be discussed, or the papers, the discussions, the different sessions.
So one of the main themes is that of social. there are a number of social ills that are facing us. Chanaza is being one of them. Different areas are busy setting up Chanaza committees. So we have brothers that take the responsibility and assisting whenever we have Chanaza. There's issues around Nikah. There's issues of looking up the elderly, so there'll be a session around that. There's an issue of economic empowerment to say, why are we not doing things for ourselves? Where are we lacking? What should we do to empower ourselves? What are some of the business opportunities? So there will be discussions around some of those. And education. So these are the three main pillars. Education, both in terms of saying daycare centers in our townships. Our children attend Christian ones. We teach them La ilaha illallah during the day. They are in the evening, during the day, they taught Holy Mary. Should we be making an intervention? There are many empty schools in the township. Townships have dysfunctional schools. Is there no opportunity for us to make dawah by adopting one of those schools, go to government, present ourselves, and put an excellent school with quality dini and Islamic ethos out of the school, make it a quality school, which then becomes an attraction for people to want to join. So these, some of them may be short-term, some are medium-term, some are long-term. Our alims, how functional are they in our community? In more established communities, somebody coming in, making salah, visiting the sick madrasa, that might be sufficient. But in our community, maybe the brothers visiting the counselors and spending a lot more time so that people don't misunderstand, maybe having more open days for the people, for the community to come and visit, interaction with schools so that people understand the masjid, not what we pick up on CNN as us as terrorists and having an issue where our masajid become in danger. So these are some of the topics of us saying, under these three main banners, who are some of the experts that we have and how can we discuss? We may not come up with any solution this time, but the fact that we are now starting an effective discussion, to me, it's such a huge jump for Islam in general in South Africa.
Do you think,
particularly for black Muslims.
Do you think, Hafiz Dawood, coming out of this, is this even an objective for people or black Muslims in South Africa to speak with a unified voice? And I think this would arise particularly if any incidents occur. You know, Allah forbids, there would have been incidents previously, whether it's relating to extremism or the like, or whether it's related to, you know, incidents of xenophobia. I'm just, you know, taking examples from the top of my mind. For the community to be able to speak with one unified voice, is it an objective?
I think the biggest objective is for Muslims in South Africa to speak with a united voice at some point. And what has been lacking in this discussion is that discussions have been taking place more with individual blacks. Hopefully with black people starting to organize themselves, it allows more communication. It allows us to integrate ourselves much better and start having a single Muslim voice, because we cannot perpetuate the stereotype that Islam is an Indian religion. There may be events that are taking place where we could sit collectively and say, maybe the best person to send for the next year or two, maybe one of our African brothers should be the one, so that we dispel the myth that this is an Indian religion to certain public events. We're not fighting for that. I'm not saying that's the ultimate goal, but I'm saying those are some of the things that a collective discussion can start taking place when we start interacting with each other much better, in a manner of saying how best all of us. As I've said, the diagnosis is about problems that are facing black Muslims. Solutions is all of us, black, green, red, yellow, coming together and owning things that take the deen forward. I'm hoping, because some of the negative brothers have come in, yeah, let them go do it themselves. I'm hoping that's not the outcome. I'm hoping the outcome is to say, alhamdulillah, our brothers are doing the following thing. In this particular area, we think we can assist because we have expertise or whatever. So that's from the other side. From the black community, I'm hoping what comes out is them not sitting down like we've done for many years and saying, oh, we know Qurban is going to come from someone else. Oh, we know we are going to receive free sheep. To start saying, how can we start doing it? So it's on both sides. It shouldn't be just on one side. I want it to come in. We hope it comes out in a manner that both parties of Islam see this as a positive thing and take deen forward and not instead create a much bigger gulf. All there is to why we chose black is that the issues facing us and the diagnosis and proposal of solutions, as majority of them are so specifically black that it we took that particular path, not because we want to divide Muslims on color line.
When you talk about religion, Hafiz Dawood, the issue of very specific challenges that are faced in the township, the question of perhaps iftar, an authority, muftis, would be able to pronounce on some of these challenges from a vantage point in the township. Will that kind of discussion arise? Because you did pinpoint that there are many more black ulama in the community today than there were 10 or 20 years ago. So technically there is no shortage of such ulama, but it's perhaps then a question of how they have integrated into the community, how they're giving back to the community, and you know, where is their service directed. So perhaps is that one area to explore now, pooling that expertise and, you know, based on traditional Islamic scholarship, but catering for this particular need where there is a huge vacuum?
The starting point is, again, to acknowledge that where we are is interventions of a number of different communities in the township. And may Allah reward all those that made that intervention, because I don't want to come across as if we are arrogant and say, hey, we'll do this. No, no, no. We are saying we acknowledge people played an intervention, they've assisted us. We are now at a point where we have ulama, where we have doctors, where we have all these different sectors. Now, how do we now utilize the assistance that we've got that has taken us to the bottom and lifted us up a bit to now say, how do we make things better? Amongst those things is to say, our ulama, and that's, are they relevant? Because they may be learning and how to be imams from a particular community. Are they taking cut and paste exactly like that into our community? And is that effective? If it's not effective, what should we be changing? And how? Those are the discussions that take place. I gave you a few examples that in other communities, Islam has been established for many generations. So it makes sense. Imam comes in, makes salah, maktab. Maybe that's enough. In our case, a young brother accepts Islam. Maybe the imam's responsibility is to get a few elderly people to go and spend some time with the family till they understand why this young man is a Muslim and allow him to become a Muslim. So these are challenges, not just iftar, not just making pronouncements of fatwa, but a broader community and interaction with both our alims and our professionals and our business people to make our community a lot better.
Final one for you, just to perhaps emphasize the broader theme that has come up repeatedly in our discussion this evening, and that is of unity. Whether we talk about it, and just to be realistic, whether we talk about black Muslims in South Africa or Indian Muslims in South Africa or Malay Muslims in South Africa or white Muslims in South Africa, all of them together, we are still a very small minority in the broader context of South African society. Obviously a very visible minority, a minority that has been able to punch above its weight and has got good reviews from some Muslims in other parts of the world. But be that as it may, we still remain a minority, and unity is imperative. And we would not want to see, as you emphasized earlier, this small community risk losing its religious freedom for anything, or because of mistakes and because of pettiness on our own part. So from your side, how do you see this importance of unity? How do you cherish this unity? And ultimately, how do you see this conference contributing to this goal?
The conference will contribute by creating a situation where no one in the broader Islamic community will feel marginalized, because that on its own breeds its own issues. So once everyone sits on the table as equals and respected, and people feel they can make meaningful contributions and their voices are heard, and no one is being spoken down to, no one is being given instruction, we are now sitting as a collective, come up with common solutions for all of us. that will take Islam forward, firstly, in the eyes of the non-Muslims, and it will strengthen the unity that we want for so long. So it's important that everyone is roped in, that we transform Islam in every level. We cannot continue with Islam being presented as a particular. People must start seeing this picture. And some of the things that brothers are starting to do, which is a good thing, previously programs and scholars would come from abroad. They would only go to traditionally Indian areas. Some brothers are starting now to say, reaching out to township brothers to say, we bring a scholar of this nature. Are you guys interested in hosting him? That's progress. That's what happens when blacks organize themselves, because now a person knows, where can I call when I want to reach somebody in Soweto? Where can I call if I want to reach somebody in Kukuletu? Where can I call if I want to reach somebody in Mlazi? That will, on its own, because we could do artificial unity. Yeah, bring one, two people, bring them there. But we now need to do structural changes that become inclusive and take everyone on board. And we all of us take ownership of this deen. All of us take ownership of decisions that we make for this deen. I think that will take Islam forward, inshallah.
As opposed to say,
I forget, there is no place for anyone who will want to divide us on racial lines. No place from anyone, be it black Muslim, be it Indian Muslim, be it Malay. That must not be tolerated by all of us.
Certainly the space to watch and the date to save, the 19th to the 21st of April 2019. Lots of discussions to take place. I don't see a venue announced yet, but obviously it seems as if the logistical preparation is still in the pipeline. The first annual South African Black Muslim Conference is what we've been speaking about this evening with the communications manager for the event, Hafiz Dawood Indebele. Hafiz Dawood, I thank you so much for making time to speak to us. Shukran and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.